it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Blue Wire.
What is up, Nets fans? Welcome to the Brooklyn Buzz. I'm Nick Faye hitting with a solo recap of the Nets' loss to the Hornets, 129-128. The worst loss of the season so far. Just a bad performance and effort from this team. We're going to jump to that and plenty more. Make sure you check the Buzz on all streaming platforms. And with that said, you know, really poor effort defensively in this one. You're allowing the Charlotte Hornets to score 129 points, but the Nets get a stop on the final possession, elect to not call the timeout. Spencer pushes the ball up court. Cam Johnson gets a wide open pull-up three. No go, no offensive rebound, game. Now, you can look at that and say, you know, Vaughn should have called the timeout and they should have looked for a two. You know, at the end of the day, they got a good shot, a wide open shot at the end of the game. You feel pretty good about arguably your best shooter taking that shot. It didn't go down. But the game is not lost on one possession. We're going to jump into why the game was lost on multiple levels today. And really, the first level is the effort in the first half of this game. You know, they were just coasting. You know, they just weren't really locked in defensively, giving a team like Charlotte, who isn't good, you know, they're not talented, as I mentioned, they're missing some of their best players. You're just giving them wide open threes. And any NBA player, they get comfortable, they can get hot. And that's really what we saw in this game. Even when the Nets tried to turn it up in the second half defensively, Charlotte was so comfortable, especially a guy like Terry Rozier, who can just really cook. You know, he hit tough shot after tough shot in that fourth quarter. So really, the score is going to say, you know, the game is lost in the fourth, but really the Nets lost this game early on when they allowed a bad team to gain confidence. And even, you know, some comments from Vaughn post game, you know, talking about the Hornets team, and this is via Lucas Kaplan, that all started, some of those threes they made them because they were comfortable. And that's Jock Vaughn on the Hornets late game shot making. Also Jock Vaughn via Lucas. We did not have the standard we typically have, especially in that first half, and that set the tone. So, and I agree. You know, I think Vaughn's pretty spot on. We've talked about this a lot, especially during the superstar era of this Nets team, where they would just allow bad teams to get confident. And again, these are NBA players. You allow them to get confident, they're going to hit shots. And everything was just too easy. You know, the Nets never really made the Hornets uncomfortable, even though there was really one starting level NBA guard in this team, and it was Terry Rozier. You know, you look at the rest of the roster, you know, Gordon Hayward's a solid player, Miles Bridges, PJ Washington, they can handle a little bit, but no one who's really great, Ish Smith, you know, didn't do anything this game in the 12 minutes he played. You would think they would force the ball out of Terry Rozier's hands a little bit and force someone else to create and make plays, and the Nets really never did that. They gave them easy switches, they gave them easy passes. You know, you look at a Hornets team that is not good, and the Nets only forced 9 turnovers. And again, they're missing two of their, you know, top guards in LaMelo Ball and Brandon Miller, and it's just like there was never double teams, there was never congestion, there wasn't just enough from this Nets team defensively. And a game where really, you know, they could have probably put the Hornets to bed in the third quarter if they played to, you know, their highest level and effort level like we've seen 80% of the season. You know, this could have probably been a blowout win, and we would have been celebrating the return of Cam Thomas. Instead, you know, you almost forget about it because, you know, the Nets lost this game, but Cam was back in this one. He did not play in the final stretch, and via Jock Vaughn, that was a minutes restriction, which you could look at one of two ways. You know, why didn't you manage the minutes so Cam was playing down the stretch? Or, you know, why not even, you know, call a timeout on that last possession and get him in the game, given he was easily your best shot maker in this one? So it was great to still see Cam out there, and he kind of really picked off where he left off. You know, we were talking about it previously. He averaged 26 a game, dropped 26 tonight in 25 minutes, 11 of 21 from the field, 2 of 5 from 3, 2 of 3 from the free throw line, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 block, 1 turnover. just really good stuff offensively, what he can do. And I even felt like some of these shots he was hitting tonight were a little tougher than what he was doing previously. And I think some of that also was the Nets offense wasn't really in great flow. And you could argue maybe that some of the lineups getting messed with and guys playing in different roles and trying to find a balance between, you know, scorers and ball handlers and shot makers and things along those lines. But still, you know, Cam gave the Nets a steady production of points on really good efficiency. So obviously, you know, those minutes will go up. Cam will be back in the 30s, and, you know, hopefully he continues to maintain this efficiency. And I thought overall, you know, he looked pretty healthy, probably a little bit gassed towards the end, but that's what to expect after being out a couple weeks with an injury. But really good from Cam Thomas. He did not start in this game. You know, you wonder if that's a thing moving forward or if that's just, you know, first game back. And, you know, it's been brought up on Twitter, you know, Cam Johnson, Nick Claxton, when they returned, they started. So maybe it is foreshadowing of something. I think Cam Thomas is too good to play off the bench, and he's too productive for a team that doesn't have the skill set in which he has. And I think also looking at Cam, you know, you talk about NBA players and star players, you know, what are some things they do that are so unique and set them apart from the rest that allow them to do something or make up for maybe a shortcoming? And you look at Cam, obviously not necessarily the most athletic guy, not great length or anything along those lines, but his ability to shoot at ridiculous angles in the short and mid range kind of make up for some of his lack of athletic pop to play above the rim. So, you know, where you would typically see a super high efficiency for, you know, an athlete that can play above the rim, get to the free throw line in different ways. Obviously, Cam is very crafty, very skilled, can show the ball, use ball fakes, but also we've talked about it. His feet can be pointed in the completely wrong direction, or he can be faced in the wrong direction and rise up and contort his body so his shoulders are facing the rim and knock down a shot. And it's not just, you know, a swoosh, an easy wide open one. We're talking about off the glass at ridiculous angles, and we saw a little bit of that tonight. And I think, you know, watching Cam for so long, watching the NBA, I think that's one of his really unique skills that helps set him apart from other guys at his skill level. And obviously we have to see in a bigger sample size how efficient those shots are, how productive they are, but as kind of a go-to move to get open in a tough situation, you know, that might be one of his, you know, star plays. So something to keep an eye on for the rest of the year for Cam and kind of as his career kind of furthers.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Now getting to some of the other Nets quote-unquote star players, Mikal Bridges in this one, 22 points, 9 of 22 from the field, 2 of 5 from 3, 2 of 3 from the field, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, 2 turnovers. You know, it wasn't a great game, especially efficiency-wise for Mikal. You know, he missed some shots that he typically makes in this one. You do love the fact, though, he is grabbing boards, you know, 9 boards in this one. I think he had 10 in the last one, 4 assists, a good number for him as well. But it's just, You just leave this game probably wanting a little bit more. And I think defensively, you want the Nets to ride with Mikal trying to pressure Terry Rozier. And I think that's where they lost it a little bit. And, you know, I think Mikal's defense wasn't amazing either, but they gave him the switches. You know, you have Mikal Bridges on this team, utilize him. Obviously, Nick Claxton, a great player in his own right. But again, as I mentioned earlier in the show, this is a situation where Rozier is, you know, clearly their best player, and he's on a heater. You want to make him uncomfortable, you know, blitz him, send the double teams, you know, fight through those plays. You know, just there's just a lot of different things the Nets could have done to make the Hornets uncomfortable. And that was the players. And also, I think that was the coaching. You know, I think Vaughn could have been more creative throughout this game as well. So overall, just not a great performance for a lot of guys. And I think defensively, it stuck out for everyone. Cam Johnson, as we mentioned, missed the final shot that would have won it for the Nets. Finished with 15 points, 6 of 18 from the field, 3 of 9 from 3, 6 rebounds, all offensive, 2 assists, 2 turnovers. Not a great game for Cam Johnson. I think he probably tried to do a little too much at times. And I think, again, that gets back to finding the right balance with all these ball handlers and scorers and, you know, who's going to play in what role and how can everyone be so effective. I think one number that shows, like, yeah, the Nets scored 128 points and you can't complain, but it was almost, they scored 128 points because the Hornets are so bad and they can beat them in so many one-on-one situations. The assist number in this game, 21 assists for 52 made field goals. You know, I think that could be not drastically higher, but you love to see higher, closer to, you know, the high 20s. And Cam Johnson's a guy over the previous five games probably has had averaged close to four or five assists, only two tonight. So again, not his best performance. Dorian Finney-Smith, 14 points, 5 of 7 from the field, 4 of 6 from 3, 6 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, 1 block, 1 turnover. DFS comes in and does his job every night, you know, and it's a plus when he's shooting hot from 3, you know, 4 or 6, 14 points. He'll take that every single time, you know, happy with the way he's played. No complaints from me on him in any way in this one. Also had a really, you know, a couple really good defensive plays. He's probably one of the only guys in this team that defensively still brought it, where you look at the rest. Even Claxton, I thought, wasn't consistently impactful on that end. That second half, I think he turned it up a little bit more, but he finished with 20 points, 9 of 13 from the field, 14 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks, 1 turnover, and was minus 7 this one. But I felt like Clax's first half versus second half was different, and he looked like that super impactful player in the second half, you know, especially offensively, showcasing all those different things in which he can do. But again, you like to see overall the entire defense and guys play consistent through four quarters, not this first half, second half stuff, especially against a bad team like the Hornets. Over to Spencer Dinwiddie, you know, a weird quiet game from Spencer. 9 points, 3 of 9 from the field, 1 of 6 from 3, 2 of 2 from the free throw line, 4 rebounds, 8 assists. Just not great in this one for Spencer, you know, just not very impactful. And he's a guy, maybe he's trying to take a backseat a little bit. I'm not sure what's going on. As I said, the vibe felt off really with, you know, the sharing of the ball and, you know, the usage rate for everyone on this team. Over to De'Ron Sharpe, plus 4 in this one, 4 or 5 from the field, 9 points, had 5 boards, 2 offensive, 2 steals. You know, Sharpe, I think, in these matchups can do a little bit more, but obviously there's still always going to be his shortcomings with his, you know, defense at times, but I think the energy stuff he brings, you know, always sticks out. Trenton Watford, 6 points, 3 of 5 from the field, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. I didn't think he was great. I didn't think he was bad. And over to finally Lonnie Walker, 7 points, 2 of 5 from the field, 2 of 4 from 3, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 turnover. You know, he was a guy that felt, I don't want to say negatively impacted by Cam's return, but definitely impacted, especially look at his minutes. You know, only played about 14 in this one. Didn't really have the ball in his hands a ton. You know, 4 of his 5 shots were 3s, so, you know, created for him for the most part. And, you know, it's going to be a balancing act and finding the right lineups that can mesh together. You know, I've talked about this a lot over the course of the last couple of weeks. Like, we've yet to see this team fully healthy, and a lot of these guys have not played all healthy at the same time. So the rotation, in my opinion, can still see not drastic changes, but definitely some substantial changes in terms of, you know, who works well with who and how to mess with, you know, the first line, the first bunch, and the first guys that come in, that second unit, you know, all those different things. And I think some of the substitution patterns are a little bit weird. You know, Nick Claxton's substitution pattern is a little strange at times. In the fourth quarter, he's starting the fourth, then coming out, and then closing the fourth. And it looks like whatever is going on with that, it's ending up kind of fatiguing Clax. He looked pretty gassed when he was subbed out late in that fourth quarter, I think around like the 7 or 6 minute mark. You know, obviously regained some energy back for the late stretch, but I think, you know, messing with the minute allocation, the substitution pattern is going to be something interesting for this team and another task for Vaughn. And, you know, I don't think Vaughn was great tonight, but there's also plenty of reason that's lost, and it had really nothing to do with the coaching. And, you know, getting to my Twitter feed, I put out a question: what was your biggest issue with the Nets play tonight? You know, getting through a couple of these, you know, Net Negative said effort. Yeah, that's correct. Reek said Cam Johnson was terrible. Yeah, we mentioned it. Cam, 6 of 18 from the field, missed that big shot. And I think, you know, at times tried to do maybe a little bit too much from hit and run. Cam not hitting that last shot. Aces, the defense was damn terrible. You know, as we've said, it was pretty bad in this game. Looking at going down the list, you know, Ed, defense, Ben Sharpe, defense was awful for both teams. Matt Caruso, JV, he didn't call a timeout. You know, I think you could look at that from both ways, but I understand the complaint about that. G, Cameron Johnson, too many shots, mismanaging Cam Thomas's minutes. Why is Clax never playing 30-plus minutes? Why did Mikal and CJ combine for 40 shots? You know, these are all, you know, good points, especially about what's going on with this team. So great input from you guys, and obviously we'll see how it all plays out. And I think there's good reason to be upset with this loss. You know, the Nets aren't an amazing team. They're not the most talented team in the NBA. They're not going to win a championship. And if they want to land a playoff spot, they're going to need to win matchups like this. And they've done it majority of the season, but these are the type of games that can come back and bite you. You're just not that, you know, good of a team where you can afford losses like this when late in the season you're going to be competing and hoping to land one of those, you know, top six seeds or even just maintain a good spot in the play-in tournament. But, you know, again, this is only one game of 82. We'll see how it plays out the rest of the way. We did get a little bit of reporting from Michael Scotto about what's going on with the Nets. And Scotto mentioned NBA executives across the league are monitoring Brooklyn's wings, including Dorian Finney-Smith and Royce O'Neal. You know, we've seen other teams previously have interest at draft time. There was a lot of quote-unquote hype around these guys. We know that the Nets will continue to value DFS pretty high. You know, in this article, it mentions the equivalent of two first-round picks. It mentions that Brooklyn's looking for a protected first-round pick for Royce O'Neal in a potential trade. Also, rival executives are monitoring Nets center Nick Claxton, but it seems like the Nets are committed to him and view him as a core player of this team. And other than that, there's not really much in this article. You know, kind of things we've talked about. There's also mention of Spencer Dinwiddie. You know, we'll see what happens with him. There'll be interest around him in the league. You know, in this article also mentioned by an NBA executive, Dinwiddie can help a team and make big shots. You know, we know Spencer can do that. We talked about how he's fit into so many different lineups and play so many different roles. So it's going to be interesting how the Nets manage the trade deadline with a lot of attractive role players for, you know, contending teams. You know, will they look to move on from these guys? Will they look to compete? Will it be somewhere in between? And in my opinion, that's probably the best way to go. You know, if you're not looking to retain a guy long-term, you don't see him in your future plans, I think you have to be willing to move on. Obviously, you don't want to deplete your entire team because you want to remain somewhat competitive, because I think that helps with development and building a culture and building an identity for this team, especially for some of the younger guys. But I think, you know, if the Nets are truly committed to Clax, obviously there's still a risk in maintaining him because he's an unrestricted free agent and could just decide to sign somewhere else, even if the money's the same. But really, you convey the message to Clax and Cam Thomas, you know, you're two of our core players and guys that we're really looking to build around, and it seems they believe that in Mikal and Cam Johnson too. So other than those four guys, I think anybody could truly be on the move this season, but we'll see how it all plays out. And again, you know, rough loss tonight. Big thanks everybody for listening, and check the buzz on all stream platforms.